Hello, hello, everyone. Great day, my dear supporters, my sweet, sweet supporters. Welcome back. Welcome back to our globally recognized Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. I want to remind you all that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussion grounded in faith and honor of our Father. So we welcome the discussions of various topics related to Scripture, and we want to thank all of you for supporting us with our entire diverse audience on the radio. We appreciate you guys continuously chiming in and giving feedback, and I'm just in awe of all of the support. I do want to encourage you guys to please, please continue to donate to FundraisingCup.org Ministries. We're doing great things, and we would love for you guys to be a part of it. As always, we're going to start out by setting a few ground rules. Those of you who know me, you guys know the rules. So let's start off by listening and learning. Number one, respect and receipt. Number two, number three, try not to use explicit language. Notice I say try because we all get a little passionate at times and I won't hold it against you. Number four, I need you to bring your most authentic and most humorous self to the table. That way we can really have a transparent discussion. And number five, if we're running short on time, I may need to interrupt respectfully and advise you that we need to regroup. If you continue to chat, you will hear me say I will have to mute you. And guys, I know we don't want that to happen, so please try to listen up and respect the time.
Number six,
and this goes out to my dear sweet audience. If you have any comments, please, please contribute to the call. We will definitely follow up and share your thoughts and all of your comments in the next podcast session. So with that said, I want to reintroduce a very, very special guest co-host to our podcast, Brother. At this point, Brother Thomas is back with us again. Yes, yes, welcome back. Brother Thomas, he's here to discuss a very thought-provoking topic with you all, which is speak the truth and shame the devil. Welcome back, Thomas. We're happy to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be back. I'll tell you, you know, every day that goes by that I don't have the podcast is a day that I miss. And, you know, I told you from day one, I said I'm out of my element here, but you know, I've learned to be in my element, and I really enjoy talking to the people. I hope that I have a pleasing enough voice that they can understand. I do get somewhat a little bit carried away, and we will try to stay within our time constraints, I guarantee it, because, you know, I know that last podcast was a long one, being an hour and 4 minutes, but it was a very necessary things that had to be discussed in it. This time, hopefully, we can restrict it. And, Jewel, I will try to do my best to monitor your progression with it. And if I see that we're running into this time constraint, I may even interrupt and say, you know what, Jewel, we got to wrap things up. Maybe we need to take this to a part two or part three.
Well, I appreciate you, Thomas, for respecting the rules and trying to work with me, as always. Today, I want to talk about something that I think is very concerning in our society today, and it's regarding telling the truth, which I find, you know, as children we grow up and it's we're told to tell the truth until we kind of grow into adolescence and our teenage years, and we realize we can get away with stuff, and we kind of smudge over the truth, and then it just kind of gets worse as we progress into adulthood and we make these different alliances with organizations and so forth, and we try to cover for fellow employees and fellow friends, and before you know it, it's just, we're in murky waters, and you can't even find out how did you get here, never mind what the truth is. And so this is a very important podcast, and I think the reading that we're going to take this from has something to do with integrity. And we're going to read from, we're going to read from Luke, and who we're reading about is Zacchaeus. Brother Thomas, would you be able to lend a voice to the scripture in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and also Luke 19:8 through 10? Can we open up with that reading, and then we can move into our discussion on the topic? Thank you.
Yes. Now, Jewel, I'm going to ask you something. Do you want me to read it with a stutter?
You guys, you may not know, but Zacchaeus had a stutter, and so it's a little inside joke. We talk about his stutter. He was also short in stature, and that'll come up, too, after the reading. But no, Thomas, it's not necessary to stutter. Please go right ahead.
But you know, I can try to. I can ad lib if you want me to. I can do it if you want me to. But it might take a little longer over our time frame. And I don't want to do that. So here we go. All right.
Please.
All right, people. Let's get started.
We have enough stuttering in this country as it is.
Amen. Yes. Some of the people you'd like for them to just keep their mouth shut. I said that. I did. So Luke 19:1-10. So, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. Chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. So he's a little short guy. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way, pass by his house. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at your house. Talk about not being ready for guests. Okay, and he made haste, and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. How could that be? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation. Come to this house for so much. As he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is Luke. Now we're going to read Luke chapter 19:8-10. All right. So, in this reading, and Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything that any man has false accusation, by false accusation, I restore him. So Jesus said to him, This day is salvation. Come to this house for so much. Okay. We've already read this before. I don't know why I said I'm here again, but it is. So, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. So, basically, all the crowd was fussing at Jesus. And they were saying, Why are you going to this man? He is the lowest of low. I mean, he is the most, they don't respect him. They basically make fun of him because of his stature. But yet, you know, he has this ability to come and knock on their doors and demand that they pay their tax. And, you know, so they hate him. In other words, he's just like old-fashioned days called the tax man. And, you know, even in the days of when you had, and I'm going to add this in here, Jewel, a little bit about the revenuer. Well, I don't know if a lot of people know about revenuers, but if you're in Tennessee, you know about the revenuers. And basically, they're mountain people. And these mountain people, they have their moonshine. Now, moonshine is something that, you know, they make their own alcohol, basically. their own spirits. And so what happens is that the government got involved with it and said, hey, what's going on? You know, our sales are dropping on the alcohol in the stores and we don't know what's going on here. Well, it turns out that these mountain people were brewing their own brew. And so whenever they had like lookouts in the Smoky Mountains. And if you spotted and they could see from way far distance because they were up in the mountains, right? And so if they could see a strange looking car, well, they all had this communication, and I don't know how they did it because I don't know if they had walkie-talkies back then or not. But anyhow, they would stop. You could see the smoke trails just stop. So then the revenue, when they came in, they couldn't find where their still was. And so that's what I'm talking about. So it's a little twist on it, but the whole thing of it is the people did not like Zacchaeus. And, you know, he knew that Jesus was coming by his house, and he thought, well, you know, I can't see because all these other people are so much taller than me. So he said, I'll climb up in a tree. So he did. And he didn't think anything about it. He was just going to sit up there and listen and see what was going on, see what all the, you know, commotion was about. Because Jesus did draw a crowd. That's one thing he did. But Zacchaeus, being a statue that he was in society, he didn't feel he was ever wanted. Okay? And so he kind of stood off from afar and was amazed by Jesus and basically was shocked when Jesus said, get yourself up out of that tree, because I'm coming to your house today. Now, this story is also taught to young children. I remember it well when I was in church. Do you remember, Jewel?
Do you remember the story
about Zacchaeus?
I do.
It's such a memorable story, because you're basically seeing this guy who's hated, and Jesus still took time to basically break bread with him, and he did. Now, you think
yes,
of that.
Yes,
you have
sir.
you have Jesus being the statue that he is, right, and the status symbol that he is. And basically, everyone was flocking to him because they wanted to hear his wise words. And here Jesus is saying, not today, guys. I got a mission, and my mission is to go talk to that man right there. And so they're saying, why did you do that? He's the most hated man. And Jesus said to them, he said, look at this. Just because he is the lowest of the low, he still has value. He still has, you know, something to give. And God loves him. So if God can love him, why can't you? Why can't you? Okay.
Absolutely, Brother Thomas. With that said, thank you for that summary. I want to jump into the five takeaways from this story, and gauge your opinion on each one of them, right? So for one, Zacchaeus, we mentioned before, he had that disadvantage. He was small in stature, and he climbed up that sycamore tree in order to gain this glimpse of the Lord passing by. Now, one of the things I wanted to emphasize is that we don't have to climb a tree to see the truth, right?
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. We don't have to climb a tree to see the truth. Sometimes the truth is hidden in plain sight. What I mean by that is sometimes sneaky and deceptive individuals can create stories on top of stories to justify a lie and keep climbing up a tree of lies. Have you ever, Brother Thomas, experienced a situation whereby you or someone else was face to face with the truth, and yet either you or them were circumventing it by any means necessary?
Yes, and I will tell you, it's a very personal story. It's a very true story. It involves my mother and my father. They were married for 23 years, and then my father said to my mother, point blank, I don't want to live with you anymore. I want to find somebody to love before I get too old. How horrible. How horrible.
Yeah.
So, then, you know, my mom came to me, and she says, you need to offer your apartment to your father. Now, I had just gotten this apartment. Hadn't even really moved into it right away. I was waiting for my furniture to arrive, and I bought my first furniture for the apartment. And I, as a good son, went to him, and I said, Dad, I know that you have to leave this house. You want to leave this house. And you don't have a place to live, do you? No. I said, well, I have a place for you to live. And he says, where is that? I said, you can live in my apartment. I'll give you my apartment to live in. And he says, well, thank you for giving that to me, but I can't live there. Why can't you live there, Dad? Well, my secretary lives there. What? Your secretary lives right next door to me? Yeah. And that would be a scandal. I can't afford that. So I won't be taking your apartment. So after I got finished talking to him, people, I realized something. How would he know that his secretary lived next door to me? Think about it. Think about it.
Yes, curious now, one thing, would like to know.
Oh, one thing about my dad. He was president and CEO of a bank. Yeah, he was. And so he had his way with all his secretaries. Every single one of them. Every single one. So this one had just been named his secretary. Really new on the job type of thing. And she was very nice. I spoke to her. And, you know, she says, and you are? And she knew who I was. And she said, well, welcome to the neighborhood type of thing. And so I was going, that's nice. She seems very nice. And never did I put two and two together until Dad had said that. How would he know that his secretary lived next door to me? And the matter, and the more I thought about it, the angrier I got. And I realized that, and I'm going to say this, that royal son of a bitch was having a fling with his secretary.
Brother Thomas, language please.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I said I was going to say it. Anyway, so this is how I decided to keep this from my mother. Because she's gone through too much. When he told her that he wanted to leave her after they'd been married 23 years and he wanted to find somebody to love before he got too old. She had hurt enough people. So I kept it from her. I didn't even tell her attorney. I didn't tell anyone that I had made this offer to my father and that he had refused my offer of my apartment. And the reason why. But I knew it. I knew it from day one. And it made me sick at my stomach. But I was not going to put my mother through any more hell than she already was. And that's the story.
Wow. Wow. What an example of, wow. Thank you for giving that transparent moment of your life, Brother Thomas.
You're welcome.
I want to go into another kind of hidden theme in this story. When the Lord sees him and says, "Come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." Now, the reaction from the crowd is what caught my attention. They had began to grumble, saying, he was going to stay in a house with a sinner. When I read this, Brother Thomas, I was compelled for a moment to reflect on times when, you know, we may have been promoted into new positions, and there were envious and jealous people deep in their feeling of whether it was deserved or not, rather than accepting the Lord's decision.
Exactly.
The fact that this person here was chosen.
Yes.
Their judgment cannot, will not ever supersede the Lord's decision.
Amen.
Thomas, I know we've had discussions offline about being chosen and everything that it entails. What are your thoughts on the casting of judgment, the isolation process, and excessive jealousy and envy that might come with it?
Well, again, this is another personal statement of mine, and it has to do with my family. And so basically, you know, I'm out alone here. I'm on this limb by myself, and I say my belief prayer every day, and I let God, and I trust Him that if I fall off this limb, He's going to catch me. And so, you know, my family have thought that I'm paying too much attention to Telegram and to TikTok and all these other things, and basically twisted my mind to the point of where they think I'm insane. And they also ridicule me, and they say I need counseling, and I'm going, this is from a family that supported me during the divorce and all the way through that, and all of a sudden it's like, who are they? And they're saying all the way to me, who am I? Because they said, you're not the same person that we knew. And I'm not. And I'm not, Jewel. And I'm glad I'm not, you know, because I went through a dark tunnel and I got through the other side. And I'm telling you exactly, growing. And you grow in spirit. And so that's what I have. And I'll tell you something, Jewel, that is amazing to me, is, and I can see why, is basically that, you know, I've had conversations with you, and I guess people have listened into the conversation. Now, I've been in my room all by myself. There's not been anybody else here with me. And I guess they're listening in on my phone conversations. I know that to be the case. I've actually mentioned certain things about, 5G, and the phone will go dead many, many times. I also mentioned about different things that's going on in my life, and the phone will go dead again. And so I know that there's something going on. You know, I think Snowden, he mentioned this. He says, you do not realize how many people are listening to conversations that you are not aware of from your phones. And so I'm going, okay. So because my sister said something to me point blank, and she says, you know what? All you do is ridicule us, and you're always so quick to say we're blind sheep. People, let me tell you something. I've never said that to them, ever. And so I might think it, and I do think it, and I do know it. They're blind sheep, and they need to get their head out of sand, but that's for another topic. But the thing of it is that, you know, now I'm basically separated from them. This last time was a real kicker. My sister, Farah, who's a year younger than me, and basically when we were born, we were 1 year apart, and so we were like twins. We did everything. We were inseparable. We did everything together. And so for her to say to me, I'm blocking you, that hurt. That hurt. Because she's the senior sister, right? I'm the older brother, but she's the senior sister. So they look up to her. They follow her example, my other sisters. And for her to say that she's writing me off, people, these are the things, these are the judgment calls that we're being faced with. Because, you know, and I know I've talked to the people in Telegram about this as well, because they've made a stand to follow God and not follow the evilness of this world, their families are making fun of them. they're shunning them. They are thinking that they're insane, that they're crazy. And that is the devil that's basically closing their ears and their eyes to the reality. If they had been allowed to see that, you know, we're not going to say something like this that we didn't believe it. And that's what I do. I believe. Because Emmanuel lives, I expect victory every day. Yes, Lord, Jesus lives. God loves, Jesus lives. And these my family will not accept it. They will not let me talk to them about anything that's going on that I know, things that are going to happen that I know. And so basically I'm shut out. I've been shut out of their lives. Even my daughters, they have shut me out as well. I am a man without a country, without a home, without a family. But that's not true. You know what it is true, Jill?
Uh-huh.
God is my steadfast. He is. And I'll tell people, and I told people on TikTok, I said this, never, 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 never put your trust, your faith in any man. And I mean that. Because any man will let you down. They will. When you think they're going to be supportive of you, the support withers on the vine. And you thought they were in your corner. No, they're not.
Uh-huh.
For what reasons? Fear? Maybe. Maybe they don't want to be in the same category as you, and they're thinking maybe if they take up for you or defend you, then somebody's going to think ill of them. How shallow,
uh-huh.
Right? Very shallow.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So when you make a stand for God, okay,
uh-huh.
That's your steadfast. So if you're going to put your trust in your faith, make sure you put it solely in the hands of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother Thomas. You know, I just want to add to that. You know, over the course of these past few years, I've come across some really amazing individuals like yourself that are spiritually grounded and are facing tremendous trials at this time. Many of them are facing similar trials. And, you know, the one thing that I have observed and found some type of
solace
in.
Solace in.
Is the fact that despite everything that they have been faced with, whether it's, you know, as you mentioned, the isolation, the abandonment from family members, setups, harassment, it just goes on and on. But despite it all, I think it's amazing that our Father has given these group of individuals such gifts and talent, which I think should be highlighted more so in all of this, that despite it all, they still seem to find a way to shine. They still seem to tell their stories and have a voice and to speak their truth. And that is admirable, right? Because what we hope is that the enemy is always going to do what the enemy does, right? He came here to lie, steal, cheat, all of that stuff we already know. The question is that when he comes knocking on your door and he's brought his whole plague and all of his agents with him, will you stand firm in the word and say, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you try to make it appear as though to other people. I'm going to tell the truth and I'm going to use my voice so that these games that you guys have played, whether it's hacking or, you know, whatever it is that the enemy is doing, we need to use our voice and speak out because there is someone else experiencing the same thing and they're too afraid to speak up about it because they think someone might think that they're crazy or someone may pass judgment on them. And so they're
ridiculed.
Don't want to let you know what their family has done to them, which can
ridiculed.
Be diabolical.
They've been ridiculed. Yes.
And so
ridiculed.
One of the reasons why I am on this podcast, many of you know, guys know that, we've we've spoken about being a voice for the voiceless. You guys heard me tell you guys that I'm here to help women and children with fundraisingcup.org. But I'm also here to help individuals like Brother Thomas have a platform to speak about what he's gone through, what he's dealing with. And it's not only therapeutic to get this out and voice these concerns, but it's also, I want to say, progressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to move past this and grab somebody's hand while we're moving towards our Father and finding peace in our soul tribe of truth tellers, so to speak, to move forward. So again, Thomas, I thank you for sharing that story. I know a lot of people have issues with their families, and some probably more egregious than others. And, you know, everyone wants to put on this facade that everything is perfect. But deep down, we know that there's families that are filled with narcissists. They're filled with greedy, just unbelievable things, right? And so to actually have the courage to speak up and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what my family's doing to me. And it's gotten, you know, so out of control. I don't know what the end goal is for them, but I'm letting you guys know it's been a roller coaster of lies, deception, abandonment. And as I've told Brother Thomas offline, and I've told many other individuals going through this, and women as well, if you can, check to see if someone has taken life insurance out on you. I know it sounds barbaric, but this is what we're dealing with in this day and age, is that family members are prematurely taking out life insurance and creating this whole just circle of deception and playing mental manipulation and labeling people insane so that they could hopefully, well, not hopefully on our end, but hopefully on their end, commit suicide or something terrible happens to them. So I always kind of remind viewers to look into that. There is a website where you can look and see if, who has taken out life insurance on you, and that will kind of give you a headway in understanding why these group of people may be gaslighting you or whatever you're going through. So, you know, I'm those of you who know me know that I don't cut corners, and I will tell you what's happening behind the scenes so you don't fall victim to a lot of these games that some people have fell victim
well,
to.
Well, I tell you what, Jewel, I think where my family is concerned, if they're used to me being part of the family. And what I mean by that is we're supportive as a group. Now, when you step out on that limb and you're saying now that you feel this way instead of that way and it's against the group, well, there's your pressure right there. And so I think that's what has happened with me. I have now changed or evolved or whatever, and they can't accept it, cannot accept it. And so they're basically still trying to reel me in and say, you know, you just need to go get counseling. You know, you've had more things on you than you realized when you went through the divorce, and you knew that these things are can affect you mentally. So they're saying quite a few things in those sentences. They're saying I'm mental, that I need counseling, that I am warped. I mean, there are so many things that are just speaking loudly to me, and I'm going, where is this coming from? But I'll tell you what it is. You see, they're scared of their own shadows, Jewel. They are. And so they're comfortable in that shadow. They don't want to come out in the light. No, they don't. But here's what God wants. He wants us to be a shining light. He wants us to be a beacon. He wants us to see people that are suffering and be willing to put that hand out there to help them. You know, the Good Samaritan situation, all of these things. But my sisters, no, never. They think that government is there to support them,
They think that they don't have to help nobody, that that the government will help everybody, and that's so wrong. And I try to tell them, you know, this government is not what it seems, and they don't want to hear it. They think that I'm just warped and confused, and I'm basically have, you know, I have no mind of my own. I have no thoughts of my own. And so basically, you know, I'm being twisted. And they seeing it as just that, you know, I need to get right. You know, I need to get my life back in on track. And I'm saying no. I'm on the best track I've ever been. And that's a fact. I'm not going to allow anybody to tell me how to pray, how to live my life, and how to know Jesus is right there with me every single day, 24/7. Amen and amen.
Amen, Brother Thomas. You know, I'm very careful in telling anyone whether they need therapy or not, because for one, I think everyone to some degree could use a shoulder to lean on and to talk to. But, you know, in this day and age, there's so much corruption that this is why I tell people to first check if there's life insurance taken out on you, because if there is, then who's to say that a psychiatrist cannot be paid to give a false diagnosis, right? Because if they would go to that degree and that extent, you know, lies, which is what this is, the subject of our podcast is about today, they'll just build lies on top of lies, and we can go down a whole alleyway just to find out, wait a minute, there was really nothing wrong with that person. You just had this whole circle of lies backed behind greed, and
this is
what this really is when we get down to the nitty-gritty. And so that's why I'm very mindful when people come to me and tell me what they're going through. I will give you a lending ear and, of course, share some wisdom with you of things that I would check and look into prior to me assuming that you're unstable.
Right. And let me say one thing about that. It's a little play on words here. You know, people always are trying to give up trumped charges. You know what I'm getting at? So they trump up charges against you. They trump up these examples of you being so far-fetched and out there and basically crazy. And so they make up excuses. So they trump up, you know, examples. And it's so that they can tear you down. They can tear you down. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can definitely see that. I want to move into another key takeaway so that we don't run over time, which was you mentioned it while reading that that Zacchaeus was a tax collector.
Yeah.
Who worked with the Roman government. So that's like a modern day IRS, right? Tax collector.
Yes.
Here in
we're
the
getting
United
a reverberation
States.
Somewhere, Jules. So far in your broadcast, there's a beep beep something.
Oh,
okay. Sorry about that.
Okay. And the fact that he was not well liked, and looked down upon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've also spoke about this example already with your family and so forth. But I like the fact that he did not let how these people viewed him impact his goal to get closer to God, Brother Thomas. And I wanted to ask you if you feel that way, if that despite what these people I'm getting it under control here, despite what these people may be saying about you or feel about you, do you let that affect your closeness with God?
No.
No, and I think that's what is basically a friction that's caused now with the family. That I'm not wavering in my belief. I'm not going to change and question anything that God has put forth to me. And if it means that I lose my family, so be it. And I guess you could say I'm a modern day Job, because, you know, he lost his wealth, he lost his health, and he lost his family. So 1, 2, 3, I've done all of that. And I still am not going to ever shake my fist at God, and I won't do that. So see, that's the thing. People can come under so much pressure that they're thinking that they got to, you know, give away what they're truly feeling in their heart because of pressure, you know, peer pressure, whatever. No, don't do that. Don't compromise your belief. Don't compromise your inner self, your inner temple, because in the long run, maybe somewhere down the road, God's going to take the veil off of their eyes and they're going to see, you know, that you were right. Now, you're not going to be someone that says to them, see, I told you so. No, I would just say, welcome, brother. Welcome, sister. You know, this is life. You know, welcome to what we have now. Look at what we're faced with. And there's always safety in numbers. And I'll say right now, Jewel, you know, when we're out here alone, there's no safety in those numbers, but we have the best safety, and that's Jesus. So that's a man-made safety, right? When you're saying that, you know, there's safety in numbers, so in other words, they want you to kind of group yourself back up together and y'all cohesiveness together, right? When you know for a fact that what they're saying is malarkey, it is, and I could say worse, but I'm just saying it's just goes against the grain. Now, when you've had your eyes open and we are awake, we are, and they are woke, so woke, never the two shall meet. And, you know, I went through the trial with them and basically separated myself from them. And then there came a time when I thought, you know, maybe we need to try to reestablish the heartstrings and the family tie. Because that's what Mom always wanted, was after she was gone. She wanted us to stick together. And work things out together as family. And that's not possible now. It's not on my end. I've not closed the door. I never will close the door. But it was definitely hurtful what they said to me. But I can overlook it because I see they don't see. You know? That seems like a strange statement. I see what they don't see. But it's true. And that's what we as people who are so strong in our faith now and we're growing in our Christianity, we're seeing and discerning the difference in what is materialistic and what is biblical. And what is godly. And I choose now godly. I don't give a royal, you know what, for materialistic things. Because at the end of the day, it's just like when we have the story about the rich man, poor man, who is easier to go to heaven? The poor man. And why is that? Because he has less to deal with. A rich man has so many other things to deal with. And he can't separate himself from the materialistic part of his life. And this is where we've got to draw the line, people. In today's time, our time is so limited. You better drop all the materialistic ties that you have and realize this. God's watching. He's looking to see if you're going to turn your life around. And if you don't turn your life around, well, guess what? He gave you that ultimate decision to make. He gave you free will. But there is a payday. And that free will, you're going to have to reconcile it. And you're going to have to come to God and say, you know, remember me when I did these things. Oh, did you now? And what is God going to say to you? Get thee behind me, Satan. I never knew ye. So,
Do you want to go through that scenario? Or do you want to go through the scenario where you go through the pearly gates? And they open up the Lamb's Book of Life. And they read your name. And it says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I'd rather be a good and faithful servant any day than take up my worldly goods and try to get through life. No way. So my family, let them have what they're going to do. They are in God's hands. I cannot deal with everything that I'm dealing with in my life and deal with that thing. So I leave there, I lay them at the feet of Jesus. And I say, "Lord, maybe someday they will wake up and they will come to me and say, 'You know what, Thomas? We're sorry. We're sorry what we said. My daughters, Dad, I'm sorry the way I treated you. You were right.' I look for that day, Jewel, but it may never come. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I can't enter heaven unless I believe that He died on a cross for me, for my sin. And He sacrificed for me. And what am I supposed to do in this time that I'm on this earth? I should pick up my cross and carry it and follow Him. And this is what I'm doing every day."
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Thomas, for sharing that. The next theme that I want to jump right into is it hits home with our topic today of speaking the truth and shaming the devil, which is repentance and integrity, which ultimately brought him back into his divine purpose and seating, whereby he states much later in Luke, where you read, "If I have cheated anyone, I promise to pay back four times as much as I stole."
Yeah.
Jesus then said to him, "Your repentance shows that today life has come to you and your household, and
Amen.
That you are a true son of Abraham."
Amen.
There is, you know, in the Bible, there's a constant mention of how a thief must make full restitution for what's stolen. And you
Amen.
Can find that in Proverbs and Exodus, where it has to be repaid, depending on what it was, whether it was property or wealth. It sometimes threefold, fourfold, sevenfold, which is a constant theme. What are your thoughts on that, Brother Thomas, in paying back anything that is stolen from someone and repenting, you know, actually speaking up and saying, "I have sinned." And
well, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what, it's a very prime example. You know, when Jesus was up there on that cross, he was in between two thieves. He was.
Yes.
And so one of the thieves actually recognized Jesus and said, "Sir, you're not supposed to be here. You don't deserve to be up here. I do. I know what I've done, and I'm willing to pay the price for it. I'm reconciled to the fact that, you know, the things that I've done, the evilness that I've done in this world, I should pay a price. But you, sir, you should not. You did not do anything like I did. And I am humbled by just being in your presence." And I said this. I said, "When I get to heaven, I want to interview that thief on the cross. And why I want to do that is because he's the first man that Jesus took to heaven. And
I want to know what it felt like looking into the eyes, the sweet eyes of Jesus, and just seeing a smile on his face and realizing that I'm a wretch and I'm a thief and I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve a life, eternal life. And then for Jesus to continue smiling, and he said, because of what you have said to me this day, because of your faith, because of your realization that the things that you've done, you're willing to pay for with your life, you, sir, shall dwell with me in heaven for all eternity. Man, can you imagine? All your life you've been a thief. You've been a liar. All these things you've done. And at the 11th hour, before Jesus took his last breath, this thief reached out to him just to say, please, Father, remember me when you're in heaven. I know I deserve to rot in hell, to burn in hell, and I'm okay with it because I deserve it. I made the decisions I made. And because Jesus was so compassionate, as we all should be compassionate, and when you have people come to you in the 11th hour, and they can and they will, we are not to turn our backs on them. We are to welcome them, open up our arms, and hug them. This is what Jesus did. Even though he's nailed there to a cross, he put his arms around that thief, and he said to him, you'll go with me to heaven. My God! God is so good. Jesus is so loving. If that doesn't humble you, if that doesn't make you turn from your wicked ways, Jewel, I don't know what will. I don't. Jewel?
Yes, I agree with you, Brother Thomas.
I mean, God gives us, you know, second chances, third chances, fourth chances, however many chances, because, you know, again, he's a loving God. How many chances do we give people to?
No, I'm here. I just want to make sure that you're done with your statement.
Oh, I am. I said, but how many chances do we give people? Do we give them three or four chances? Right? We don't. You see the difference in us and Jesus? Aren't we glad? Aren't we glad that he was a compassionate God? That God is compassionate? That he's loving? Aren't we glad that we, after all the things we've done and the snuffing of, and basically thumbing ourselves at God or whatever, that he still can and will forgive us and welcome us with open arms? So, I think that pretty well says it.
Yes, Thomas. And, you know, with that said, I'm going to go into our final theme that I have taken from this story.
We're almost at an hour, just let you know. Almost at an hour.
I know. I see the time, which is how the crowd viewed Zacharias, right, which is as a thief.
Zacchaeus.
And back then, Zacchaeus, as a thief. And back then, you know, a thief was a major sin.
Oh, yeah?
They
could chop your hand off.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the truth is, it's because, well, it's, you know, sort of like lying. It's a common denominator for other sins, right?
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is, let's say you kill a man.
Yeah.
You steal a life, right? And now that you've stolen this life, well, now you stole from a wife, a husband.
Yeah.
And you have robbed his children now of a father.
Yeah.
So ultimately, when you tell a lie or you steal, you're stealing someone's right to the truth.
Exactly.
This is why Jesus said in Matthew 19:18, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness.
Bear false witness. Yes. The bear false witness. Good God, have we got that going on these days?
Have you, Brother Thomas, ever experienced someone bearing false witness on you to cover up lies that surmounted on top of lies that grew so out of control that literally these people couldn't climb their way out of the lie? Has it ever happened to you? It happened to me. So I'm curious about what happened
to you. Bearing false witness. Yes. That happened to me in the issues with my wife and my children. So basically, you know, I was in the hospital for almost a month, and it was during COVID, so I could understand family not being able to be there. But I didn't even get a phone call. So what kept them from not making phone calls, you know? It just means that they closed the book on me. And basically they had decided that they didn't want me around anymore. I was expendable. And so my wife came to me, and she says, I'm not dealing with you. I said, excuse me. You're not coming to the house. You're going to go live in assisted living. I said, No, I'm not. She says, well, I'm not dealing with you. I'll have nothing to do with you. So I thought, okay, I can deal with that, which. But then my daughter comes to me, my youngest daughter, Caroline. And she said, yeah, Dad, I want you to go to a nursing home. I'm tired of hearing you complain. Where did I complain, Jewel? I went through hell with this vaccine injury. I didn't complain. I suffered through it. So there's false accusations there. And they were comfortable with them. They were comfortable with closing the book on good old Dad. Mom was threatened by me. She felt that if she could get me out of the way, the better. And being the obedient daughter that Caroline was, she followed suit. So, yeah, I've had it happen to me. Yes. Yes.
Wow. You know, Brother Thomas, again, I want to thank you for being so transparent. Hold on. Yeah, thank you for your patience. I want to thank you for being so transparent with us today. Those were really some touching stories that you shared, and I understand how it can really impact your relationship with your family. So I'm terribly sorry to hear that you've experienced that. But I do want to say, before we close out, I want to touch on some pertinent news that I think applies to our podcast today. And one of which has to do with the administration of work contracting, and the other is the Federal Trade Commission recently coming down with a
new decision on the non-compete agreement. Are you aware of any of these issues happening, Brother Thomas? And I would love to know your thoughts.
Well, you know, government's government, and if they can rule their hand, they will. And, you know, we were hopeful in thinking that we had the right people in office that were going to be supportive of us. But we're quickly finding that's not the case. It never was the case. But, you know, that we're always hoping, you know, that's when we turn the lever. That's why we have that citizen's right to place that vote, right? To listen to these people and to look at what they've done, and they saying the great words that they're saying, and you feel like they've got your back, and they don't. And then it's so quick and easy for them to just to take the knife and just twist it in further. And that's basically what has happened with these two things. You know, you're getting people's livelihoods are being affected. I mean, like the gig work. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
People have 2 and 3 jobs for what reason? Because they can't pay the damn bills. And why? Because the cost of living so goddamn high. I'm sorry, I'm cussing, but I'm angry. The cost of living is too far out. And then mm-hmm. you have these idiots up there in Congress and in the Senate, and they vote in sending more, $90 billion dollars to Ukraine. What is going on? And then you're wanting to cut out gig work? Why? Because you can, right? Because you can wheel that hand, the wave of the hand, and you can just chop somebody off, and you can just limit their amount of what they can do. It's not right. It's not right.
Uh-huh.
And then the Trade Commission thing. Oh, you know, all of these governmental agencies, all these governmental agencies are crooked. Every one of them. And we're realizing that fact now. We never knew it before. Our moms and dads probably didn't even know it. They didn't realize it. You see, we're at the end of days. And so all the things that can be and will be revealed, God's revealing them. And so we're now faced with all these things that we've never been faced with before. And it's up to us to take a stand. And if you don't take a stand, and you don't say, I'm not following you anymore, get thee behind me, Satan, because that's what they are. They are hands of Satan. They don't care about anybody but themselves. It's called, you know, avarice is the root of all evil. Money, 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 money. And so if the government can't have enough fingers in the pot, then they feel like they need to get more. And so it's an outreach. It's an outstretch. And it's illegal. I guarantee you it's unconstitutional. It's not something that our forefathers designed. These people are overstepping their bounds. And somebody needs to say something about it. And so, as we've said all along in every group podcast that we've had, people, it's time for you to stand up for your rights as a citizen of these United States of America, which now it's not a United States even. It's a republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible. Get that meaning? So, we need to get back to God. We need to get back to one nation under that God. We need to get away from this race baiting theory, whatever the crap that's going on in the schools. We need to take a stand and say we're not going to put up with it anymore. And we need to do it now. Now is the 11th hour, people. We've got limited time. And if you don't turn from your wicked ways, and if you don't recognize the wickedness that's around you each and every day, it will consume you. It will consume you. And that's what's happening. Our government is consuming everything about our lives. We don't have our lives anymore. We never really did. We never really did. We didn't know it. But we know it now. Many of us are waking up to that fact. We're seeing it. But what are we doing about it? Are you staying quiet? Are you hiding in your corner? Are you becoming a group, an advocacy, a camaraderie where y'all are sharing your stories? Okay? And maybe you just do it around a campfire, or you do it around the coffee table and you call over a neighbor and say, "Hey, neighbor, how you feeling about this thing going on?" "Well, I'm with you." Well, there goes your safety in numbers, isn't it? So where one or two are gathered in my name, there I shall be also. Amen, amen. So when you are saying to God, "I'm with you, God. I stand for you, God. I pick up my cross and follow you, God, to wherever you want me to go." Do it. Do it now, people, before it's too late. Before it's too late.
Okay. Okay, Brother Thomas, I want to share some comments from the last podcast that was aired with you prior to closing out, because we're running a little bit over. So let me hurry and...
I think we should name our podcast Overtime.
Overtime. That's cute. That's cute. I know, because we're always running over. So from the last podcast, Miss Gratian was grateful for us posting the podcast. That's the message she said, and so I'm thankful for that message. I'm thankful that you're grateful. I'm grateful that you support us. Miss Cooper stated that she said, "I have a beautiful voice and appreciate the share." So thank you, Miss Cooper. I'm glad you've taken a like to my vocal abilities here. Miss Lynch said that we had a great share, Brother Thomas. Ms. Heath inquired if we are both new at podcasting, because she admires our tenacity and boldness in putting ourselves out there. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate your admiration. Ms. Harris stated that we need to get like-minded individuals involved in this podcast. We're doing great things. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And last but not least, my son Jeremiah, who spearheads the youth ministry podcast, also listens to my podcast from time to time, whereby I inspired him to start podcasting, and he gave me some feedback, which I thought was really phenomenal, so I'm going to share with you guys. And that was, this is feedback from Rich Man, Poor Man, Brother Thomas.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, yeah.
And he said he wants us to note that we can also tell a whole lot more about someone's character when they actually have money, right? Because I mentioned when they didn't have money. And he made an interesting point. He said, because when they have money, they won't hide their wicked heart, as opposed to when they need help. So, you know, this is from the mouth of babes, and I, you know, applaud him for recognizing that so early in his growth. But he's absolutely right. You know, when people have wealth and they feel like they're on top of you, they can buy everyone and everything. I think it's a time where you can really see and test someone's character of whether they would do the right thing in that position of authority.
Well, okay, one thing.
So I think that's an interesting share.
Well, what their riches do, it emboldens them.
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
And it makes them feel like they are above us, and they can ridicule us. And really, the evilness then is just fed. It's like you're feeding the monster. You're feeding the monster. And so when they start getting this way and they get a little recognition and a little accolade from it, that encourages them to continue, right? And so what happens is they get so engrossed in the deception, they forget themselves. They forget themselves. They become somebody other than what they were. And that's sad. Very sad.
Yes, it is. It is very sad. And so I'm going to close out now with some closing thoughts. And, you know, Brother Thomas, I want to thank you again because, you know, our audience has really taken a like to you because you're so transparent, right? And you share a lot of the things people are afraid to share, but they can relate to. And I appreciate that about you, Brother Thomas.
Thank you.
We can see that you don't come here to put on the show. You actually are the real deal. And you share the good, the bad, the ugly, and the sentimental at times. And so I definitely appreciate that, Brother Thomas.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have any closing words before I close out?
Well, I would just say this. I think God likes it when we're raw. And what I mean by that is we're not plastic. Raw means that you're genuine. That you're putting your feelings out there and realizing that somebody could come along and just chop you off at the knees. But God's saying, you're putting through a sacrifice. And basically, you're showing me that you've got that cross with you. And you're going to bear it for me. And so that's such solidarity, you know? And I think God rewards that. I think God rewards me every day with the thoughts and the prayer that I give every day. And he gives me victory. And people, if you've never had victory in your life, man, you don't know how wonderful it is to know that when you take a stand like that and you do what God told you to do, and God has told me to be a simple messenger and to give a simple message. And the simple message is this. It's a great commission. You know, go forward and teach others. And that's what I'm doing with the podcast and what I'm doing with my daily life. Anybody I talk to on the phone, if I get the opportunity to, I'm going to witness to them. Tell them my life story. Tell them what happened to me with the vaccine. Tell them what happened to me with my prayer. Explain the prayer to them. It is a simple prayer. But God says one thing. God says to do two things. Tell people I love them. And he does immensely. But also tell them Jesus lives. He's not dead. He lives every single day in our heart, if we'll let him. And the other thing is when you want things to be God's way, get out of the way. Elsewise, God can't do his work. So I give God my day every single day. And I say, Lord, you have it. I don't want it. I don't want to deal with it. And he does. And I have all kinds of things I'm faced with all day long, every day, never changes. I never raise a fist to God and never will. And at the end of the day, I get a victory. Amen and amen and amen. People,
amen.
When you get up and you can do that, and you can appreciate the victory, and it is a victory that God gives you, realize that. God gives you that victory. Appreciate it. Tell God how much it means to you, how impactful it is on you every day. And you will be his faithful servant. And you will be, when you go to the pearly gates, they'll open up that book. And they'll be able to read your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Don't we all want that too?
Absolutely, Brother Thomas. Let me close out with these final thoughts. Everyone, we are called to lift the veil and expose the lies of the enemy. This is why we will continue to speak the truth and shame the devil here on this podcast. There are many agents of the enemy with idle minds, which is the devil's workshop or playground. I'm sure you guys heard this before. The days and nights are, their days and nights are consumed with just trouble and chaos and defaming other people's characters and slandering and smearing, smear campaigns and all of the sorts.
Right.
These
we
are all...
We have something to do. I'm going to add in there really quick. Do you know those people are never at peace?
No.
They're
you know,
never at peace.
They say... There's no sleep for the wicked, right?
Right.
So these are all self-hating energy thieves looking to steal other people's joy and prosperity and ultimately their destiny with these lies.
Yeah.
These individuals will eventually have to deal with any negativity and negative energy that they put out in the world. Father said, keep that same energy when it returns.
Yeah.
The Scripture says in Leviticus 6, 2-3, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep or in fellowship or in a thing taken away by violence or hath deceived his neighbor or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it and sweareth falsely in any of these that a man doeth sinning therein. Therefore, when someone is trying everything they can to bring you down and affect your energy, simply ignore them. Because if they are digging a literal grave for you, remind them to dig two because they're bound to fall into one. Okay?
Amen, because amen. That's great.
When you're authentic, you are the whole truth and nothing but. And
amen.
You don't have to fear any problems because you're under divine spiritual protection.
Yes.
Your ancestors, the Most High God, will continue to stay on your side. So stay encouraged. Stay focused on God, your goal.
Yes.
And
before
you know it, you'll be on to a new tax bracket.
Amen.
We all choose different paths. Both light or dark. But I find those who choose dark are relentlessly taking others with them.
Yes.
So as Christians, we need to be as ambitious in taking those with us to the light.
Amen. Amen.
And I want to remind you guys about divine timing, which works against them. We must embrace divine timing and have patience. Our Father sees what we can't, so we must wait on him to expose lies, betrayal, and secrets in his time, not ours.
Mm-hmm.
That's
another
reason why his timing is so important, because when he reveals it to you, you will be healed enough not to care.
Right.
Well, you might care, but you won't catch a case. And that's what we want to avoid, right? Because you had time to wait it out. And so I want to say God bless you all, and thank you for supporting me. Thank you, Thomas, for joining us again with your insightful comments. And a special thanks to FundraisingCup.org Ministries for sponsoring us. If you wish to make a donation, please contact our fundraising charity on 615-205-5657. Your support is greatly appreciated. And as you know, your girl always needs to promote her side hustle, which we talked about today. They're going to try to stop. But still, I'm still doing my travel business thing. So reach out to me so I can hook you guys up because that's what I do, and I love what I do. So thanks again for supporting us here, and we look forward to bringing you a new session the next time we speak. Until then, take care. Bye.
Thank
Amen.
Bye. Oh, yes. Oh, my God.